And we'll try to put this together so that it'll be a strengthening and a help to you. We'll be reading verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not, nor know not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. And thus we have the text that we want to use this morning. And this is not a new text, and it's not one that I have not preached before. The message will be a little different, but this is, I think, one of the important challenges in the Word of God, and that is the matter of self-examination before God. You might want to think of it in terms of just take a look at yourself. I realize sometimes that might be painful when we look in the mirror, but we do need to examine ourselves. And in particular, we need to take a look at ourselves before God in light of His Word. The idea, again, is self and not another. He didn't say pass judgment on another. Examine your own selves. And we have a responsibility then before God to take a look at ourselves and to stay with self. At this particular juncture in time and with the thought that we're developing today. Now, another must face examination either by themselves or by another. And that other is not us. That other is Jesus Christ. And so the admonition is to examine ourselves. And that's far better to examine ourselves. Now, I'll broaden an application just a little bit and remind you of what the Apostle Paul said about the Lord's Supper. And in coming to that table to partake of the fruit of the vine and with the unleavened bread and so forth, that it's better for a man to examine himself than for God to have to bring His judgment and chastening upon us. So there is then, with regard to the thought of another being examined, it's not our job to do that, but it is their own responsibility, or it will be the Lord's responsibility as He deals with the others. I would encourage you that, according to this book that is before me this morning, that really all judgment is committed to the Son. When judgment has to be passed, it's Jesus Christ that we have to deal with and not another. Now, this idea of examination here is basically just taking a broad look and then dissecting that look and bringing it down to see that we're in the faith. And that's the purpose of this examination that we're admonished about in our text today, is to determine where we stand with the Lord and honestly before the Lord. I'd sound negative, and I will be, but there's a lot of misunderstanding about this subject of salvation today. There needs to be a clear mental concept of it, and to look at ourselves along line, in line of or with this matter of salvation in self-examination. Let me just give you a few thoughts this morning and challenge you as we look into this subject today. The idea of self-examination is to look into the state of. And the idea of looking into the state of is to discern whether or not we're in the faith and reach a conclusion. Now, this is not something that I speak of without some experience. For years, I would debate that issue with myself, whether or not I was really in the faith. I'd convince myself one day that I was, and I'd be convinced the next day that I wasn't. Until one night, Monday night, May the 23rd, 1966, God dealt with my heart, and I knew that I had passed from death unto life. It was no longer a question that had to be debated back and forth in my own mind. The truth is, I was convinced of the truth that I was in Jesus Christ. We need to look into the state of affairs and see where we stand today. And we are to discern whether we're in the faith or not. And that faith is one faith. It is not any faith. Now, the word faith is used in a couple of different ways in the Bible. One is, as we reference personal faith, in other words, that we have come to grips with the issue of sin in our lives and we've cast our lot with Jesus Christ, believing that His death was our death of the cross, or He was literally our substitute to die in our place. And this is a Bible doctrine that is taught early in the history of man, even in his fallen estate, is that God has a way and would have a way. For man to come to grips with the issue of the matter of sin and faith would be very personal and real. And then the term faith is also used of a system of doctrine, a set of beliefs. And I think that we probably have both referenced here in this text today, but the major emphasis is whether or not we're in the faith. And that is the faith of Jesus Christ. Do we believe honestly and correctly about Jesus Christ? Have we embraced Him in Him, our truth, and followed through with that? But we must discern whether we're in the faith. Now, there's a lot of other, quote, faith, and I put it, unquote. In other words, that some will make reference to the Buddhist faith, some to the Muslim faith. There's only really one faith when it comes right down to it that has any qualification at all about it, and that's faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He stands for. So we then need to discern whether or not we have come to grips with this issue in light of who Jesus Christ is. When we think of this matter today, are you standing, or as you stand today, are you different than you were before? Did the faith make a difference in your life? And certainly it ought to. I realize I broach this subject quite often, but I'm persuaded that when God gives new life in Jesus Christ, it's literally new. It's brand new. It's different than anything you've ever had before. And it's as good as you'll ever have when you embrace the faith of Jesus Christ. As we think in terms of looking into the state of this situation, as we think in terms of the faith, have you looked into it to see where and how you came to faith? You hear a lot of different ideas that are presented today. One that bothered me immensely years ago when I read of this fellow, and he was supposedly a missionary going to evangelize the unsaved. And he said in his own personal testimony of a particular people, he said, whenever I came into this certain village, he said, all I had to do was tell them the name Jesus because they were already saved. And that shakes me to the core. I mean, it bothers me. It troubles me immensely because how can they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And I want to magnify the office. How do they hear without a preacher? And how are they going to preach if they're not sent? To go out and share that which they have. So I present to you this thought. How have you looked into where and how you came to faith? Well, it should have been with some involvement as we think about this matter of faith. First thought under that particular heading would be, if you think you're saved, did it involve the gospel? Did it involve the gospel? The Bible is very clear on the gospel. The saving gospel. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote the church in Corinth, in those early verses of chapter 15 of the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, you need to keep in memory the gospel that I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. And basically what it must be saying, would have to be saying under that particular thought is, if it's not real, you can forget it. But I tell you what, I have never to this good day forgotten that Jesus Christ saved me. And He saved me as I embraced the truth of the gospel. How that Jesus Christ died for my sin. How that He was buried. And that He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. As we think in terms of examining ourselves and looking at the state of the situation, did it involve the gospel when you were saved? Second thing under that major heading of have you looked into where and how you came to faith? If you're saved, what produced faith in your life? Now, faith is not something that you naturally have. Now, there is an element of belief in certain things. You may have a comfortable chair, and I do. I'm having more difficulty keeping it than I used to. I've got a dog that every time I move out of it, he moves in. I have to move that dog. So I'm going to keep that chair, Doug. So we have an element of natural faith where we believe that something is adequate to maintain us, to hold us up. I've got all the confidence in that recliner. And I've got just about as much confidence I can go to sleep if I can get that recliner away from that dog. But there are certain things that you'll trust. But when it comes to this matter of personal salvation, what produced the faith in your life? And it was not something that was natural to you. But somewhere, somebody preached the truth of the Word of God to you. Now, it might have been a mother as you were at her knee. It might have been under a stormy evangelist, could have been under a good solid Bible teacher, but somebody brought the gospel to you from the Word of God. And so as we think in terms of examining ourselves, what produced the faith in your life? And of course, if it was some system of works that we embraced, or it was something rather superficial, then you pretty well rest assured that it's not real. So we need to examine ourselves. The second major heading that I put in this text and in this message today, as I present this text, is there must be proof. There must be proof. I heard these. Story, I read it again the other day, and I hope I understand what the preacher's trying to say. I just don't agree with him. I hope he's saying something that I'm maybe not hearing exactly. But he said, you really don't have to feel anything to be saved. Well, that's, in one sense, I suppose, in a broad sense, true. But to pass from death unto life is pretty hard to experience and not feel it. To know that your sins are forgiven and they're under the blood, it's pretty hard to experience such and not know it happened. I mean, you could think of a lot of experiences, as I can too, in life that when it occurred, we knew that it happened just by the nature of it. If you ever, as I did years ago, taken a bad fall, and of all places for me to pick, I fell on concrete. It didn't fall in the yard where it had been, the dirt had been a little softer. Seemed like I always picked the worst place to fall. And by the way, just as a warning to you, it's one of those days when I didn't have time to go get a ladder I needed. I was going to stretch things. And it didn't take about 2 years to get where I could kind of get around. Use the arm. I had quite a bit of time to try to get over it, but I didn't have much time that morning, so I didn't go get the ladder I needed. I needed an 8-foot ladder, and I was using a 6. And I was right on top of the ladder. When I fell on the concrete. Now, don't tell me I didn't feel it. Because I did. First thing I felt, I couldn't use an arm. Then I got the bright idea, well, I'll just hang that arm out the window and I'll drive on to the hospital. That didn't work either. I experienced that hurt. You could just think of some experience in life. As you go through that experience, you know that it happened. And I think salvation ought to be that real. You ought to know it happened. One dear old saint of God said, it's better felt than felt. Just to know that we've passed from death unto life. The subject is, there must be proof. One of the proofs, and this goes beyond the physical now, into the realm of the spiritual. One proof of being saved is to know who Jesus Christ is. You'd be surprised today at the ideas of who Jesus Christ is. Oh, they'll give him a lot of credence. They'll say he's a good teacher. You know, it might even be old John the Baptist, even though Herod beheaded him, he must be risen from the dead. This could be one of the old prophets. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That Ethiopian eunuch, when he asked about the matter of baptism, as he asked Philip, "Here's water, what does hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may," in one of the greatest confessions you find in the Word of God. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." One proof, then, is to know who Jesus Christ is. The second proof would be what you've done with Jesus Christ. Well, you can do several things with him. Herod did something with him. He chatted with him, tried to debate with him. And finally, even refused him. And that was in light of real good testimony. Now, I don't know what his wife really believed about Jesus Christ, but I do know this. She went to old Pilate and said to him, "Don't you have anything to do with that just man? And if we've got traditional history passed down correctly to us, he died an insane man." Tell you what, it does not profit you to deny Jesus Christ. So he can be denied. He can be refused. Just prior to the last week of the life of our Lord, Luke records this for us, that he had determined he needed to go to Jerusalem. He's the Passover lamb, God's real Passover lamb. And so he set out for Jerusalem, but he stopped in the village of the Samaritans. And whenever they saw that he was going to, with determination, go on to Jerusalem, they rejected him. So you can reject him. But John also said you can receive him. To as many as received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I believe there ought to be the proof of Christ's likeness in our lives. Now, I didn't say that it's going to be a perfect likeness. But I'll tell you what, you need to take on something of the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. There ought to be then the receiving of the love that we have for Jesus Christ as a proof. And then there ought to be the love of the brother as a proof that we pass from death unto life. As we think about this examination this morning, this is virtually a must in your life. Why is it so important? The world doesn't seem to think so any longer. I used the illustration a week or two ago, but I'll remind you of it. In a survey that was taken, it was found that 60% or better of the people of the United States of America could not even name the four Gospels. The world doesn't seem to think it's important to know who Jesus Christ is. Why is it then so important? Well, let me give you a thought or two about it. First of all, it's important because to know Christ is to have life eternal. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught this himself. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Second thing I would say about it is, to not know Christ means you're already under the judgment of God. That's what the Bible teaches. He that believeth not is condemned already. Even though he walks, he talks, he breathes, yet he's already under the judgment of God. Don't have to wait to wonder and see if judgment will fall, because the Bible said we're condemned already if we have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's a good Bible illustration of this. There's Pharaoh down in the land of Egypt, and the people of Egypt. Now, all of the land was under judgment. God said there'd be one more plague. All the other plagues are done. There's one more. The death of the firstborn in every house. But over in the land of Goshen, God had said through Moses and Aaron, you tell the heads of the household to put up a lamb. Keep it up for 4 days. Then you slay that lamb, sprinkle the blood. And when I see the blood, when I pass through the land, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Pharaoh said there's nothing to it. And most of Egypt said there's nothing to it. But there was that certain group of Israelites that said this is all the truth. This is God's way. And they sprinkled the blood. I want you to know that it is important to examine ourselves and know that we're in the faith. Final thought we'll develop here this morning. You'd have to be reprobate not to know that you need this self-examination. That's what the text tells us. It said again in verse 5, know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. So that you'll get it at least in as simple a picture as we can present it. In words, a reprobate is one that has been abandoned to sin, and God said, I'll never touch him again. I've used often the illustration, I wish I could remember the president's name. But there was a time when the presidents would stop and go to services. They didn't have to have their armed guards and empty every house town before they'd come by. They'd stop and visit in churches. And this president of the United States of America stopped, went into this church, heard the message, and a man with the audacity to do so questioned the man and said, wouldn't you like to be saved? And the testimony of that president of the United States of America was, young man, years ago, when I was just a young man, God spoke to my heart. And I made an agreement with God at that time that if he would never bother me again, I'd never bother him again. And he said, God has kept his part. Reprobate. Could sit under the preaching without any conviction. Abandoned to sin with no hope seemingly for him. Here the writer said, don't you know you're in the faith? He said the only way that you could be or have this hidden from you would be that you're reprobate. That you've been abandoned to sin and God's not ever going to deal with you again. I believe God will deal in hearts and souls this morning. And in that case, if that were true of that person, their mind would be blinded. And we'll state it in two different questions, but the consuming question today is, are you in the faith? And then, in relation to that, have you faith in Christ? Now, if you can't grasp that, you don't care about that, you're on very dangerous ground. And you might be reprobate. I don't know. But thank God for His grace today. If God's Spirit has spoken to your heart here this morning and you know that you need to be born again, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But Jesus said, my Father in heaven revealed it to you and has made you aware of it. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith or not. Let's stand together. Musicians come prior to the invitation number. I'll pray with the rest. Our Father, I thank you for your precious word. I thank you that this book is a soul-searching book. Just as surely as we're to examine ourselves, we know that we pass from death unto life. So I trust you'll bless in hearts and lives, and your will be done, because I'm asking in the name that is a precious name, that of our Lord Jesus Christ.